This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/Saul30 and use promo code Saul30. Welcome to Better Cast Saul, the officially unofficial podcast for Better Call Saul on AMC. I'm Jim.
I am Aaron.
And we're back. It's been over a year? Over a year now.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah, because like last, the leftovers, Better Call Saul and Fargo season three were dueling out in the spring of last year.
Right. So we're a few months off of the 1 year mark.
Right.
We're back for a season four preview podcast.
The Farmer's Almanac did not call it correctly. They said if the woolly worms had seven brown bands, that we'd have Saul in the spring. And they completely missed it.
It's Saul in the fall. Worms,
which actually is more of a pneumatic device anyway.
I think that's why they did it. I was, you know, listening to their podcast. They said, Saul, it's fall. Let's just go with that.
Right. Saul in the fall.
No other reason. Not like, you know, writing and filming a 10?
Secondary
13
concerns.
Episode? I don't even know how many episodes are in this season. But, yeah, we're back for season four preview. I've seen all of the trailers that
As
have been released to date. There's some footage circulating, you know, from the beginning of the season, some stuff with Gene.
Some black and white Saul. Black and white Gene.
Yep, some continuation of the Gus and Nacho stuff. We're probably going to talk about all that. I mean, first of all, up front, I guess we should talk about the biggest news that came out of this week, which is renewed for season five.
Yeah.
Before season four even airs, which is weird because last year they didn't renew it for a very long time.
Right.
Yeah. Like, even into the middle of the season, I wasn't sure. Even at the end of the season, maybe?
I can't remember, like, if we... I can't remember, honestly.
Yeah.
I do think that feels right. Like, give the Villa gang the time and the confidence to bring this... Like, if you're going to take it this far, then give them the time and the confidence they need to tell the story they want to tell. And I feel like that it's also appropriate, as someone who has been a little concerned with the pacing of the transition from Jimmy to Saul, I like having that final end date that we know we're heading towards something, and I feel like maybe some of the breakneck pace that we're kind of like familiar with the Villa gang is going to return, because I thought this season looked a lot more darker and more urgent.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're talking about.
Yeah,
in the I watched a like cast and crew talking about season four. And they said, yeah, we're going to get a lot darker. It's going to be more psychological with Jimmy, which I already thought this show was kind of a deep dive on his psychology anyway, but they're really going to get into his head this season.
And it does seem like that the Chuck setting himself on fire wasn't a fake out, that was a genuine moment. And it would make sense that this is now, you know, Jimmy's going to struggle with, like, if he had a complicated relationship with his brother, but also his brother was a certain moral gravity that exerted force on him, like an image to live up to or live down, you know, or live down or rebel against. And that is gone. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff in the trailer that makes it seem like maybe ultimately what Jimmy's downfall is going to be the same thing it always is, taking a shortcut. You know, like against Kim's better judgment, against Mike's better judgment. You know, it feels like that Jimmy is the thing, and that's going to be the gut-wrenching thing, is it feels like maybe Jimmy's going to be the thing that leads a lot, like the Pied Piper leads a lot of people off into some sort of self-destruction.
Sure.
Because we know what happens with Mike. We don't know what happens with Kim, but like...
She's not in Breaking Bad.
She's not in Breaking Bad, and there's a lot of shouty scenes with her screaming at, you know, the unwashed asshole. Man, I got to get my Better Call Saul game going.
Hamlin. Yeah.
Thank you.
Howard Hamlin.
Howie Hamlin. The double H. I feel like that... Yeah, and she's being, like, really defensive, like, or maybe arguing and on behalf of Jimmy. Or maybe she's, because, you know, she's been used and abused by this legal organization. Maybe she's arguing on behalf of herself, but...
Are they trying to steal her oil company away from her after they took Mesa Verde?
Could be. Like, I don't put anything past these monsters. Because the other thing is, like, I don't know. Like, I've gone back and forth about how malignant I thought Chuck was. Like, you know, they set him up to be the cute and cuddly guy, and Hamlin's the bad guy. But then the more we got to know the situation, maybe he's actually the shit. and it was, you know, in spite of Howard. But then, I don't know, if he's dead, like, we know that was a big concern for the law firm, having Chuck be in his reduced capacity and what that meant and whether he's a liability. And now it's off the books, maybe.
Yeah, I find it hilarious that Hamlin's all sweating the money it would cost to buy him out.
Right.
And eventually he does buy him out, right? He pays off this, whatever, Chuck filed a lawsuit because they couldn't, they wanted to fight the insurance company on his cause. I don't know what it was, but Chuck, you know, ends up dead at the end of that season, right after Howard has paid from, you know, his own personal purse to have Chuck out of the company.
And how much
he should have just waited a week.
Yeah, I wonder how much of, like, you know, there's this, the how much of the drama on his end is going to be him trying to set forth machinations to undo all that. You know, because I think the temptation's strong, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, try, like, oh, well, this just is, this the new shit has come to light, you know, like, let's undo
my money
it all.
Back.
And, but, like, it, from a legal standpoint, is that super easy? Like, what
probably not.
What does Chuck's estate look like? You know, who's
I bet it's ironclad.
Yeah, sure.
That's a man with wills and estate clauses.
But who is the money going to be conveyed to? Yeah. Like, you know, because you can, you know, is the partners going to try to get their fingers in that pie? Is it going to his ex-wife? Like, what all?
Does it go to Jimmy?
Is it good? Nah. I don't think one red
think
Sid's
going
to Jimmy.
No.
But it'd be interesting if there was, like, maybe Jimmy was in the will and Chuck wrote him out recently. And, like, will Jimmy try to, like, legal his way into that? I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, like,
Ernesto, it's all going to Ernesto.
God damn it, Ernesto. He's been he truly is the son of Gus Fring. These behind the scene machinations he's putting into play. I feel like that, like, I am definitely interested into the psychological devastation that is going to be, you know, visited upon Jimmy and what that does to his psyche. I don't really care about the law firm and its machinations unless
it
somehow impacts Kim, but even then, I that's certainly interesting, but I'm really worried about this Mike and Gus, like, taking over the show, because that shit, like, there seems to be all kinds of levels to, like, you know, because Gus is trying to make moves without the cartel moving on him. Mike has been, like, interfering kind of in the middle of that, too. He's in a situation, what's going to go on with, you know, Uncle Tio.
Hector, yeah.
Hector Salamanca.
Uncle.
Yeah, Uncle. What? There's just so much stuff that we have to unpack. Nacho and his fragile situation with his family.
Yeah, I think maybe we should, like,
we
do
got the cousins
a
back.
Very small recap of where everyone's at kind of at the end of the season. Because, you know, I had to go through and do a refresher just to refresh my own memory. So I'm sure everybody listening is like, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Hey, before we get too much further into the discussion of the preview, I want to talk about what's going on here at Bald Move. Because if you haven't joined us since the last time, you might have no idea. You're just jumping in cold, wet, naked, and afraid. and here, I'm swim to shore. I got a nice fluffy towel for you. We're doing Game of Thrones Season 3. We're doing a summer rewatch of Season 3 of Game of Thrones. One of the high watermarks of the series, honestly. There's a lot of good seasons. Season 3 is one of the best ones. Of course, we're doing Better Call Saul. We're also doing HBO Sharp Objects, the miniseries, which is kind of like a Midwestern, Southern, Gothic murder mystery. If you like True Detective Season 1 especially, I think you'll feel right at home with our coverage of that. That's on the Bald Move TV podcast feed. We also are continuing our first run movies. Recent ones include Mamma Mia 2 that Cecily and I did a review on. Jim and I just saw Mission Impossible Fallout and did a review on that. Next week we're going to be seeing Black Klansman, which looks to be interesting to say the least. Something new that we're doing that you probably are not aware of is we are doing twitch.tv/baldmove. We're playing video games and hanging out for a couple hours each week, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then finally, speaking of Game of Thrones, I wrote a book with a religious scholar about the religions of Westeros and Essos. We're doing a Kickstarter to get it professionally edited and illustrated and typeset and have a physical printing. You can get in on that at book.baldmove.com. We've already actually achieved our funding goal, but we got some cool stretch goals where Come out with an additional volume at no cost to you, to plus the artwork, to do an audio recording. So there's still time to get in there and get some really cool rewards. They're going to be probably exclusive to this Kickstarter. Like, I don't think we're going to do a second printing of the book. It'll be an ebook format only. So if you want to get a book, certainly with an autograph of me and Anthony, go to book.baldmove.com and check that out.
Let's just quickly go through some of the main characters. Chuck, dead. Right?
Dead.
Dead. Okay.
Of self-immolation.
Yeah.
Burn himself in his house.
Jimmy, he's had his law license suspended for 1 year. He's kind of just past the judgment on that. He's on the edge financially. He has, like, no money. He's got a dead brother, which I'm sure is going to send him into some kind of self-destructive spiral. Mm-hmm. He just broke the lease on the office with Kim to kind of lighten his load and her own load, too. He doesn't want her, like, overstressing herself because Kim just got into a bad car accident,
right?
Because she was overworked and just pushed herself too far. She's got wounds from that. She also is out of her office now, working from home. Mm-hmm. Mike, as you mentioned, you know, he's working for Gus. He is kind of in the middle of, and I don't know how much it's going to play into this season, but he's in the middle of laundering money for his granddaughter, Kaylee.
Right, and he's got Lydia with Madrigal Electromotive is now, like signing his checks.
That's who he's working for, yeah. And then we have Nacho, who you mentioned his father. Hector was trying to muscle in and force his father to run drugs for him, be a front. So Hector poisoned, Nacho poisoned Hector. Mm-hmm. And then he did this pill swapping thing where he planted some bad pills.
So tense.
So that Hector would, you know, suffer a heart attack, and then he had to swap the pills back.
Right.
Now, I've seen a preview of something to come, which shows the continuation of that scene, essentially, because I think it ends on them, like, with the ambulances coming in, right, and carting Hector away. Mm-hmm. So I think they're still there, and Juan Bolsa jetted. Mm-hmm. So I think Nacho is trying to get rid of the pills that he currently has on him, the ones that he planted in the first place, and then grabbed again. So I think Gus knows about the pills.
Yeah.
So what he's going to do with that? Is he going to, you know, bring Nacho into his confidence? Is he going to? Because, I mean, he wanted Hector out of the way, but he wanted to do it his own way, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Nacho kind of spoiled that because when he was talking to Mike about, you know, Mike wanted to kill Hector too, and he said, no, he doesn't deserve a clean death. I want him to suffer.
And there's Gus ranting and raving about he gets to decide what someone deserves. I mean, you can make a lot of inferences about who he's talking about, but he's talking about Hector.
Yeah, sure, Hector. And I wonder if he's going to view Nacho as taking that away from him.
Yeah, and there's, like, the other complication about Nacho is that we know that you know, when Jesse and Walt meet Saul for the first time, it's that famous scene out in the desert, and he's raving about this is a misunderstanding with Ignacio, and it's quite possible that we'll end the series with this kind of thing up in the air, or to the extent that Jimmy doesn't understand what's going on with Gus, that he will only have half of the story. Like, you know, Nacho's out moldering in the desert, but he just thinks he's in the wind because of whatever. We don't really know much other than Jimmy's confused and out of the loop, but we know that historically is the case in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Do you think we're ever going to get, like, Walt in the background?
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, I find it very hard to believe that. I just don't think that the Villa Gang has that restraint. I don't think that's like, even like, if I were them, I'd be like, oh man, are we going to play the cameos too much? I don't think that's even on the radar. They're just like, if we can get Cranston in here and just have him back in his, you know, just driving around the fucking Aztec in his drab members only jacket, then by God, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's probably the right call.
I think so. I mean, I can't remember what I've said about this in previous seasons, but I feel like my thoughts on it have been evolving in the off season because there's a lot of stuff happening around, like, Breaking Bad and Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston. Just like they're doing this, like, come cook with us for a 10th anniversary or whatever thing.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and they did a hilarious video about, like, Bryan Cranston living in the trailer and Aaron Paul being a back Hollywood backlot tour guide, essentially, after Breaking Bad. It's really good. But yeah, there have been like movements on the Breaking Bad front, and I feel like that's not entirely in preparation for, you know, them showing up in Better Call Saul, but maybe.
It makes sense. Like, if they're in this season, they way closer guarded that than they did the whole Gus thing.
Yeah. They didn't telegraph it in the titles of their...
Yeah, the Gus thing was like a point of marketing.
Right.
And I kind of... I do think that they do bring him back. I hope it's like that. Mm-hmm. I hope it's not like countdown to Walt and Jesse, you know, in three more episodes. It's going to, like... I kind of want just it to be, its own little thing. Mm-hmm. But... You know, yeah, it's the 10th anniversary, but if they're back and working together, like, you know, you start wondering, like, well, how hard is it to get, you know, to get him in and...
Right.
And, he, you know, Cranston doesn't have to shave his head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, in and out. I don't know how you make Aaron Paul look like Jesse at this point, because it was already pretty shaky in the last season of Breaking Bad, but... I think Walt will definitely make an appearance.
Yeah. Any other like big predictions? I mean, I gotta assume that Jimmy's gonna feel responsible for Chuck's death.
Sure.
You know, and it's gonna probably push him further towards Saul. I don't know how far down that road we go still, because, you know, there's definitely another season. They that's the other thing about that announcement. They didn't even say it was the final season.
It's gonna be. Please.
I mean, I assume so, but they haven't said that.
I mean,
which is surprising to me.
Yeah, I don't know, because like I thought there was a lot of episodes in the last season that there felt like there was some flabby episodes where, like, I felt, and I kind of felt that way about the first half of, you know, assuming this is over in five episodes, that I think if you go back and rewatch, you'll think, like, okay, there's definitely some treadmill and some definitely, like, let's slow this Jimmy thing down, because once you take him to Saul, then that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, then you've got, like, a parody of a show. Yeah. You don't even have a show anymore. But I'm hoping that now, to me, it's like, why would AMC renew this before the season's already over, unless it was a deal? It's like, hey, you know, here, you got, you know, 20 to 26 more episodes to wrap this thing up. You know exactly how much time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what every showrunner wants, like, you know, an end date with enough time to actually execute a plan for it, right? Like, you know.
Sure.
So yeah. I don't know, like, I personally don't want him to see him go season six, but then again, if it's compelling as hell.
Yeah, it depends on what they do with it. But I just look at AMC's track record for this kind of stuff, and they don't end shows lightly.
Yeah.
They grip onto their shows, the coattails, and they ride them into the dirt.
Do you think
this show has 4 million people watching it, which is a big show for AMC.
It is a big show for
AMC. And I know it's not AMC Studios producing this or developing the show.
Right.
It's, you know, Sony, but...
But they need eyeballs in a network, you know? They're bleeding them in other areas.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, this show is damn near as big as Walking Dead now.
Yeah.
With all the audience fall off its scene.
Certainly bigger than, like, Fear.
Yeah, or I don't know what kind of numbers, like, Preacher and, you know...
Probably not
that kind
many.
Of stuff, too, but, yeah, I can't imagine.
But, yeah, no, I think the Villa Gang would be smart to, you know, see the daylight and run for it. I hope that if they don't do that stupid thing where season five is going to be two halves of eight episodes.
And right.
Like, I, you know, if you're going to end it, then let it end. But I, you know, this is going to be darker, not just because of the Chuck thing hanging over it, but like lots of scenes of like the cousins, which you know, they're very dark, malevolent characters.
And some bloodbaths at their hands.
Victor, you know, who is I'm kind of glad to see that character back.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see Jeremy Bitsui re-inhabiting that role. Jeremiah, rather. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, maybe he should give. Aaron Paul anti-aging tips.
Oh, is he still looking good?
I think he does. I think he looks exactly like Victor. you've been kind of coy about what you want. You think five seasons feels right?
Yeah, it does. Okay. I mean, Breaking Bad was five seasons, and I don't feel like this
with
has
an asterisk
as much of a story to really tell as Breaking Bad did.
Yeah.
You know, they're both focused kind of on one person with some peripheral characters, but that person had a serious journey to go on. Whereas I don't feel like Saul's journey is as far, because he's kind of always been Saul. You know, he's had this persona of Slippin' Jimmy that's just Saul in less outrageous clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like it's easier for him to slip into Saul than it is for, you know, Mr. Chips to go to Scarface.
What do you think of... Yeah, and plus we see, like, you know, Mr. Chips to Scarface, that, like, there's a lot of room of interpretation there. Whereas we've seen Saul, we know exactly what that looks like. So it's a much smaller area that you have to land, you know? What do you think about the... I'm assuming you saw it. There's, like, a 2 or 3 minute scene of, like, the black and white...
Gene.
At a hospital, sweating his social security number and his driver's license number.
And it's the stuff's not checking out.
It's not. The system just keeps kicking it out. Do you think this is going to be another unrelated vignette? Because we've seen him kind of like pouring over his old memories. We've seen him be the schlub that gets locked in the dumpster
trash
area.
Room, yeah.
We've seen the guy, you know, trying to... encourage a shoplifter to exercise his full legal rights. Is this going to be another kind of unconnected vignette that just kind of gives you a glimpse into what it's like to be Gene now? Or do you think, what I hope, is I hope this starts to get the memento.
Yes.
Where the black and white and the colors starts to kind of interleave and start to tell a cohesive story that ends someplace interesting with Gene. Because that's the one point. I mean, that's the only place there's can be interesting closure. Like watching Jimmy become Saul, whatever. But what the final what finally happens with Gene, I think is the hook that I'm, I guess, most interested.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know how they'll handle it. Will they start to lean into that this season? Will they go kind of a Breaking Bad season two and do maybe a little shot of it up front of every episode of season five?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I'm expecting for the full memento treatment. It doesn't have to start this season, but if they're going to do like the, like, I think that would work really well for the final season where like every cold open is moves the ball just a little bit further.
Yeah.
And ideally it would have something to do with the stuff that's happening in Color Vision. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens, how Jimmy is not lawyers for a year.
Yeah.
I wonder what job he's going for where he is essentially telling bad lawyer jokes on the interview.
That's a good question.
I didn't see any markings on the door that would indicate like what it is. Like,
so did he find a loophole in the Sandpiper stuff? Because that didn't turn out how he wanted it to, right? He tried to trick the lady into accepting the deal, and then he had to trick her back into not accepting it because he felt guilty about ruining her friendships. So he still doesn't have his money. And that case is still on the table. Is he still allowed to consult in that? Because
I wouldn't think so. Like, barred from practicing law is like pretty.
I want to say we had some stuff where he could still be like a paralegal, and maybe he could like assist Kim on that case or something. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, obviously.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, I don't know. I mean, the thing is what I think that would stop that is Kim being so straight laced. Like, she's loosened up a little bit, but if he's barred. You know, like, how would the state of Nevada, or no, not Nevada, New Mexico, know if Jimmy is practicing law on the side by helping his girlfriend out that he lives with?
Right.
But I don't think Kim would truck with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Kim has changed a lot. Kim is starting to get jaded. She's seeing how the system is set up to benefit, like, these, the legal haves, like Hamlin and Chuck, and really fuck the legal have-nots, like herself and Jimmy, that have actually, you know, worked just as hard, if not harder, to get to where they're at and scrap every day for respect and cases and all that. And
sees what the hard, honest work is getting her. It's getting her into car crashes, and it's getting her clients stolen.
Yeah.
Jimmy... There are some scenes in last season where she's enjoying the cons, right? On whatever, when she plays, I can't remember, Francesca or something. Yeah. She was really enjoying those scenes. I don't know if she'll follow Jimmy down that hole.
Man, it'd be really unfortunate if like the impetus for the one last scheme or scam would be her. And that's the one that blows up in everyone's face the most. Mm-hmm. You know, like all the times Jimmy has run these rip and rolls and like skated by, and then the one time he gets in serious trouble.
It's with her involved.
Yeah. I just like, you know, there's just no way that, and that the interesting thing is their relationship was kind of on fumes and life support last season. I feel like the car crash and Jimmy the trial they went through, and like Jimmy's brother dying is going to be something that gives them artificial fuel to keep that fire burning. No disrespect intended to Chuck, or the appropriate amount of disrespect intended
yeah,
to Chuck.
Yeah, fuck Chuck.
Yeah, hashtag. We've got to bring that back around. Who are we going to fuck now that Chuck's roasted?
Howard? I don't know.
Fuck Howard? Doesn't rhyme.
No, it doesn't have the ring to it.
Yeah. Musk-us. I like Gus.
Yeah, Gus is
I like
good.
Gus. Gus is awesome. He's a sturdy Darth villain type of Darth Vader kind of villain.
Yeah.
But no, nothing good's going to happen with Kim.
No, definitely not. Now, I've seen Jimmy, in the previews, like circling jobs, like he's doing a job hunt, like a legit job hunt, and he's talking to Kim like, "Oh, I'm going to go straight and narrow here. Just 10 more months and I'm good. I can be a lawyer again."
Yeah.
No fucking way.
Yeah,
he's not going to go back. He circled an ad for a copier job. Yeah. Like, I'm going to sit
go
in a copy office.
Plus, that was how he got started in the mailroom.
I know. He's not going to start over.
Nah.
That guy doesn't want to start over.
I do wonder what his scam's going to be.
Yeah.
Because we've seen him do, like, the old folks scam. We've seen him do the, like, last year it was the commercial scam.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have some kind of scam he runs that lets Jimmy be Saul, like a little bit of Saul.
Yeah.
Because every season you've gotten to see just a little bit of glimmer of that Saul character. I wonder what it's going to be this season.
I don't know.
Because I didn't see him becoming like Steven Spielberg of low-budget commercials. Or I guess he wouldn't be he'd be the, what's a terrible filmmaker?
Michael Bay?
Well, wow, that's even giving it too much respect. I was trying to go for, who's the guy that did Plan 9 for? Ed Wood.
Christ.
He's the Ed Wood of local New Mexican.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, he's a Tommy Wiseau of New Mexican commercial ad space.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I don't know. When do you think... How do you feel like this season will end up with the transformation to Saul? Is he going to get the pillars in his office? Is he going to get just the clothing? Is he...
If I had to make a prediction, gun to my head, I would say that you'll see that transformation begin like as a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Like, you'll see him get this seedy spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might be like the fifth season, but I kind of feel like... Vince and Peter, like, among themselves, like, we want to do at least one season of what we thought we were going to do, right?
Probably, yeah.
And there's enough momentum and dramatic possibilities, and now we can just kind of do Saul, you know, starting. But I think it would be a kind of cool way to end this, where it's like he's getting this, like, seedy spot, and, like, he's on, I don't know, where would you go to get those fucking pillars before Amazon existed? Like,
I make them yourself.
Oh, yeah,
foam.
Maybe his drama students are just going to carve that shit out. You'll see him in the background with like masks on. They're carving these stupid pillars and spray painting them or whatever. Like, like a sped up motion of the Statue of Liberty inflating over his thing, like something like that. So you can see like, oh, you know exactly where he's going after this. But I feel like he can't pivot to Saul until he's done with Kim, and I'm not sure they're ready to be done with Kim. Because Kim, like, there's no way. There's no way.
No, I mean, at this point, without Chuck in the picture, I feel like she's making this show for Jimmy, right? Like, otherwise Jimmy is just Saul.
What if... Here's a horrifying prospect I just came up with.
Oh, God.
What if you find out that Kim is actually Wendy?
Oh, no.
It's a cricket like from It's Always Sunny situation.
Uh-huh.
Where like you saw how she started, and being involved in Jimmy's life has just degraded her to this almost subhuman existence.
I like it.
Like that's what four seasons of Jimmy and an ensuing meth habit will do to you. You go from Kim to Wendy. That's your stage name.
Yes.
Oh, God. I kind of want to throw up in my mouth.
Assuming that Kim isn't in Breaking Bad.
I want to throw up my mouth a little bit, too.
This week's sponsor is HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a company that I have had many meals with. If you're not familiar with them, they are a meal kit delivery service, and they have different plans you can sign up for, whether you need a big family plan, whether you're a vegetarian or you like meat. They have all sorts of plans you can sign up for. I'm here today to tell you about how convenient this is, because really that's the whole point of the service, is to make it like super convenient and super easy for you to cook at home, which I found after, like, before getting HelloFresh, getting signed up for HelloFresh, I was never cooking at home. I would just eat out all the time. Once I got HelloFresh, I realized, oh, yeah, I can actually do, you know, meals in as little as 20 minutes. Like, each week they can send you a recipe that takes about 20 minutes to prepare, which is great. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. There's really not a lot to think about there. And you can enjoy not having to plan dinner, which I think is the biggest time saver of all, honestly. Like, when I go to plan dinners, it takes me, I don't know, an hour just looking through online recipes, trying to figure out what I want and how much of this ingredient I need. And just trying to organize all that really sucks. So HelloFresh fixes that problem for me. And you can get it all shipped right to your door. So you don't even have to go to the store. You know, even if you had the HelloFresh meal recipes, you'd still have to go to the store if you want to try to do it on your own. But nope, they send it right to your door. It's less than $10 per serving, and it's free shipping. So I really like HelloFresh. Right now, they've got a special offer for the fans of our podcast. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, you can visit HelloFresh.com/Sol30 and use promo code Sol30. I recommend, if you're doing that, to check out the Dijon chicken and mushroom dish, which is my personal favorite. I've been a big fan of that one. It's like one of the first recipes I got, and it's still, to this day, something that I cook all the time.
Yeah, the last time I got a kit, I got the pork and poblano, I think is how you pronounce that, all tacos. Right. And they're like Mazunta quality.
Okay.
And you're not, you're probably
not from Cincinnati.
Not from Cincinnati. It's a very high compliment.
Absolutely. But definitely the Dijon chicken. Like, the poblano is no offense to the poblano lovers, but the Dijon chicken and mushrooms is where it's at. Just saying.
Oh, well, the pork and I just checked, pork and poblano is in their Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The Dijon chicken, were invited.
Dijon, know that?
Oh my God. All right. So yeah, like I said, they're giving us a special offer. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/Sol30 and use promo code Sol30.
Hey, I want to take a break real quick and tell you about the club Bald Move. You can go to club.baldmove.com and find out all about it. There's a lot of reasons that people support us. Some people just want us to keep making television and movie podcasts that they enjoy listening to. Some people are about, oh, what's in it for me, eh? Well, what's in it for you is ad-free feeds. You get VIP access to forums. You get video versions of the podcast. The quickest way to get it, like, you know, it's ad free, it's edit free, it's us doing a podcast live in front of you. There's no way you can get it faster. There's first run movies, spoiler filled reviews of the movies that are hitting your local cinema, quips, Lunch with Jim and Aaron, all kinds of bonus material, and you can get the whole pitch. Go to club.baldmove.com. You can see all the things that we're offering. And you can also try those, and you can get a 30-day trial just by signing up today, club.baldmove.com. I don't know. A good ending for Kim is to get away from Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
Is it possible that that's – because I just feel like that what they're doing is they're going – like, I keep seeing something interesting for Kim to do that's not just be destroyed by Jimmy. And I'm like, what is that thing? Because she is kind of in her own little downward spot.
Yeah, I feel like her greatest accomplishment would be to break that orbit from Jimmy. Like, understand, look, Jimmy's not good for me or anybody else. Yeah. And I need to get out of here while I still can with what's left of my career.
You know what I'd like to see before they do whatever they're going to do with Kim is I'd like to see her fleshed out a little bit more. Because we've gotten hints about, like, where she came from, and, like, maybe she's from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And, like, it would be interesting to see what all things in her life have shaped up to put her in Jimmy's path. And then I think if we knew more of that, it would give us a clue about how she's going to survive or not the next few seasons.
Can we do some Kim flashbacks?
Yeah, I would like to see some Kim flashbacks. Something that would, like, let us know a little bit, like, where she might be headed, like, with a relationship with Jimmy. Because we've seen, like, all that stuff with Jimmy. Like, his relationship with his mom and dad and, like, the store and how there was this constant suspicion and jealousy of his older brother that, like, you know, Jimmy is this guy no one took seriously, but everyone liked him. And we don't have that from Kim. We did have a few kind of throwaway statements of her past. Like, I'd like to know more about her just to see how, like, her character would play off of Jimmy going bad or Jimmy trying to go good or anything like that.
No, this would be the perfect time to do it now with the main what I felt like was the main tension of the first three seasons, Chuck and Jimmy, right? With that out of the way, now is a good time to focus in on what should probably be, you know, at least this season's focus, which is Jimmy and Kim.
I mean, shit, I feel like we know more about Mike than Kim. We know more about Gus's background than Kim. Mm-hmm. Hell, we know more about, like, the fucking Salamancas than we do. I need a Kim flashback where she's getting held under by a kiddie pool or something by...
I was by just, Hector? Jesus Christ.
Say something like that, though. Like, something that, like, kind of gives us a little bit of window into what makes her tick.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that she's going to be successfully... do you think that she's going to be able to successfully manage the what's going on with the bank plus the oil field?
I don't think that working from home solves her problem.
Right.
Right? Her problem is being overworked, not that she has to be at the office all the time. Yes, she's taking showers in the gym. Yes, that would probably help if she... But she's still going to go to the gym, right?
Mm.
So does it matter where you take your shower? Is it really going to save that much more time to be working from home than...
I think the people like that, though, like, they do try to have it all and keep it all going. And at some point, you got to decide, just for survival purposes, what is the most important things and what are things you're going to let slide.
Yeah.
You know, maybe going to the gym and
maybe hiring somebody. I mean, now that she's out of the office, get a paralegal. Get somebody who can help you with this workload. Because she was trying to do it all herself.
Jimmy's boat anchor and the double office is going to be, I don't know. That would make sense that she gets brought back because, you know, Kim still needs the help and that keeps
and
her
she can
in Jimmy's
orbit now, right? She doesn't have the cost of the office, that overhead,
and that keeps her in Jimmy's orbit too, which is going to be important because obviously she winds up very deep into Jimmy's orbit, maybe too deep.
Oh, Francesca, not Kim. Okay,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
too deep.
Yeah, too deep by far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm very curious to see how they keep up, because, like, a lot of stuff that I'm kind of on pins and needles about, the Gus, Hector, Mike, we all know how that shakes out.
We do, yeah.
So they have to, essentially, the only tension there, if I'm reading it right, is how Nacho makes out.
Yeah.
And his dad's upholstery business.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fairly low stakes for me. You know,
I agree. I mean, I've liked Nacho over the course of the last.
That'd be
two
like
seasons,
imagine
but...
Breaking Bad if the chief tension was, I don't know, the janitor that got fired at the school,
mm-hmm.
like whether he's going to pay his rent and keep his family going. If that was the chief thing that you were like kind of watching to figure out,
maybe he turns to actually selling drugs after losing his job because it's the only way to support himself, and now he's in competition with Walt.
We
got to worry about whether Walt's going to kill him or not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give Kim short shrift because obviously there's a lot of, you know, we care about Kim and want to see what happens with her. But, like, the thing that we just – but we know for a fact that she's not in the series. So, like, the one that we
– right.
The only one we don't know for sure is kind of like Nacho and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've done a good job of, like, sketching that relationship. And the other thing is, like, Nacho's kind of fucked because whatever, if he saves his dad, it's going to be at the cost of his, you know, the image his father had of him's already exploded.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's been hip deep with these gangsters, and that's something that is not how he was raised. And there's that cat's out of the bag.
Oh, what about Crazy 8? We haven't talked about Crazy 8. He got a beat down in last season.
Yeah, he did.
But we know he ends up still being a major player in that organization. So
right.
How does he get there? How does he go from mild-mannered, you know, crib salesman, furniture salesman to...
I don't know, because like, I kind of want to take exception and say like, maybe that story's already been told. I feel like the beat down, the savage beat down over nothing
that just
is the thing.
Him,
that's like, you got... Okay, well, I gotta if I'm going to be in this business, I got to swallow a bag of cement and get hard.
Yeah. Are we going to see like his family's furniture business? Like, what is it? Plantico? Shit. I don't remember the jingle.
Right. Yeah.
Are we going to see like the tension there similar to Nacho and his dad? Or is that just too much?
I feel like it'd be stuff kind of we already know and also too much of an echo of Nacho.
Mm-hmm.
Too many Nacho echoes.
I'm with you.
The Nacho Echo Fire, exclusively at Taco Bell. Get it with the Baja Blast and send the crisps. Now through August 7th, use checkout code BALDMOVE. And see what reactions you get. I'm not promising you a deal. I'm promising you a reaction.
Yes. And then finally, there's Price. Price is the character who's isn't he in the wind at the moment? Isn't Mike like bodyguarding him?
Oh, right.
Because he was afraid of Nacho.
The guy at the Hummer and the baseball card collection and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Who might still get Mike caught or something.
Well, the stakes on that are so low that I had to struggle to remember the dude.
Right.
And everything about him. So, like, I guess.
I don't know.
See, also, like, what is this going to be this season's Squat Cobbler?
Yeah.
Because we've had the Chicago Thunder. What was last year's Squat Cobbler? Did we even have one? Maybe we did.
I'm pretty sure we did. I don't remember what it was, though. I remember, when did Jimmy have his breakdown? Was that season two? Like, I thought that was last season.
I know that's something the Villa Gang seems like they get a kick out of. Like, I do, too. Like, anytime you hear Ocean's 11, like, when they're saying, well, we need a Grease Monkey and an Ella Fitzgerald. And, like, I like the fact that there's very specific underworld slang for all these different scams. So, yeah. And also, like, how you, like, take one day of your, I don't know, 90-day writing retreat and just, like, you know, take a lunch hour and just brainstorm silly-ass Squat Cobbler names.
Yep.
I need another slice of Squat Cobbler.
I'm sure you'll get it.
Yeah. What else do we want to talk about?
I think that's about it. We did have one piece of feedback that asks some questions, other than when the hell are you guys coming back for the preview. Are you doing a preview? Yes, this is it. You're listening to it. So you can stop asking now. It's Josh H. He wrote in and said he's excited enough for season four that he was listening to some of our old back catalog for 1 through 3.
I gotta have my opinions consistent. What the hell?
Nah, I think he's drawn some. He caught some interesting stuff that you were talking about during season three. You said you read someone describe Jimmy as someone who only likes the beginning of things. This may have happened, but this was exactly the way Dr. Faye described Don during season four of Mad Men. I think it was a reference to that.
Yeah,
probably. I thought the parallel was interesting. Both Don and Jimmy are anti-heroes with the gift of persuasion who change their names and personas. Perhaps incidentally, they also both have a brother who commits suicide. We know why Don changed his name or persona, but we don't yet fully know why Jimmy will change his name and persona, even though we basically know their origins. Any predictions? I mean, I feel like we kind of have talked about this, but not really. Like, not that point of what will be the thing. I think it's going to involve Kim.
We know it's absolutely not his suspension of license, because we now know enough about Jimmy that I don't think he can just hang out his it's actually somewhat a question I think they have to address, how he can, with all of his commercial campaigns and billboard campaigns and public disputes with, like, the biggest law firm and his brother committing suicide. Like, this is going to make him a big name in New Mexico and Albuquerque. How the hell do you just become Better Call Saul, star of late night drunk cable television, without legal questions being asked, without the public just being like, well, what's this guy? This guy was like standing in front of a flag and a World War II bomber and Gimme Jimmy, and now he's Better Call Saul.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess you can. You always have the license to rebrand yourself.
I guess that's true.
If you'd like. Maybe he's pitching to different clientele with Saul Goodman.
I mean, very much.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just waiting for that. This customer base is like 70 plus, so he waits 5 years and they're all dead.
Yeah.
All of his customers are dead, so he can just roll out the new name.
That's the thing. I mean, he is pitching to different crowd, and maybe the old guys are like, who's this Saul Goodman guy? That's Gimme Jimmy. I know Jimmy.
Right.
He worked on my will, you know?
Yeah.
We don't really know, like, what the word on the street is about Jimmy
in
Breaking Bad.
What is it about that, like, only liking the beginning of things? Because I feel like that there is something there with Don and Jimmy, that these guys are fundamentally broken as people, and they like the idea of a clean slate. And there's always in the back of their mind, is like, oh, if I could just get a chance to start over, I won't make any of those same mistakes. And then every time they do start over, the common element is themselves.
Yeah.
And they bring that baggage in, and then, like, it becomes a fucking nightmare all over again.
Yeah.
And
it's because running from the problem doesn't address the problem.
Right.
Especially when you are the problem.
Right.
So, they get caught up in the same cycles over and over because they never fix the root cause. They try and treat the symptom.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah.
Like declaring, like, emotional and personal bankruptcy only works if you stop running into emotional and personal debt. you know, right. just like the money. Like if you're, I mean, and that's weird because like, yeah, in real bankruptcy, your credit's trash. So you can't kind of commit the same mistakes over again. But like emotional bankruptcy, like there's nothing to stop you from going and taking advantage of a bunch of other people.
That's true.
And running it right back up. Like not, that's not great behavior.
Definitely.
You need emotional credit ratings. Can you imagine how that would change the dating world? Mm-hmm. Like if like on Tinder and all that, you swipe right and then you say, whoa,
your emotional FICO is at
345. You know,
who keeps track of that? What agencies do you trust with
the
your
same
emotional
shitty ones
data?
That we don't really trust?
TransUnion.
Yeah,
and,
right. Yeah. The one sudden. Yeah.
Sure. So that when they get hacked, they can get everything about you.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like some Russian national is with my wife now because he got my emotional FICO score and fuck me, I guess. Like you got my kids and my what?
Yep.
Get out of here, Boris.
Okay. And then Josh H. goes on, if I can tempt you both into making predictions during the Better Cast Saul series preview released way back in February 2015, based on the season one trailer alone.
Oh, no.
A-Ron said, I think Chuck is going to try to burn his house down.
What? Get out.
Does A-Ron get any internet points for his pseudo prediction? Did the Villa Gang telegraph this?
Well, I hope I get all the internet points and they'll be as worth as much as all the others in existence.
Right. Right.
Like, you know.
You can have 8 points, 8 internet points for that.
Like, internet points, like, so while we're on this subject of emotional bankruptcy, like, you know how, like, you hear, like, the German Republic printed out so much money after World War One that, like, a loaf of bread was worth $70,000 and it's just worthless. Like, internet points are like that, except there's nothing real world to ever reel them back, so.
Right. They don't deflate. They only inflate.
No. Then there's made, like, it's like the, I've been, Cartoon Network has been, or no, Adult Swim has been doing like marathons, and I've been watching a couple Metalocalypse marathons.
Oh,
and
boy, yeah.
Metalocalypse took over like the state of Florida and just print, you know, printed money to get out. And it goes about what you, but yeah, that's what internet points, man.
Yeah.
There's unlimited inflation. They were not worth anything the day they issued, and a week later, there's going to be 10,000 more of them.
That said, mark it on the wiki. A-Ron has 8 internet points.
Yeah.
For that prediction.
I'm actually amazed. Because, I mean, it was just based on how his house seemed like. Yeah, I guess it does make sense.
With the lanterns and the fuel and
none of that's
the code. Books stacked up everywhere. Yeah,
he's got paper everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's using open, naked flames to, like, cook and light and all that shit. He's absent-minded professor kind of guy. Yeah.
I feel like that's less you being clairvoyant and them just being good writers, right?
Right.
Like, this is what makes sense for this character.
It's Chekhov's Coleman lantern.
Yeah.
It's like right
so,
there.
So Vince Gilligan gets 1 internet point for that.
Yes.
And A-Ron gets 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it's on the preview, series preview,
yeah,
pretty fucking impressive. I might get 12 internet points for that, honestly.
Hey, I'm handing out the points. you can claim them. I'm handing them out.
I just know as soon as I'm awarded 8, they'll be worth -3 the next day.
Yeah. And that's about all I've got for the season 4 preview. I'm excited. Ready to go.
If you'd like to send feedback, bettercastsaul@baldmove.com. There's also be a forum thread. Probably not as much feedback, but just if you want to discuss it with your fellow fans there at forums.baldmove.com. And yeah, I think we're ready. We're ready for season 4 to begin. And I am excited I think season 5 is going to be the finale season, and I'm excited because I'd always be bummed, even though like I feel like last year would have been a good stopping place, just like season 4 Breaking Bad would be a good stopping place. Like it's always better to have like that they can actually hit. Do you think
A-Ron only likes the endings of things?
I only like the endings of things because I have no idea how to make them stop because I keep coming up with other things to talk about. For example,
oh God.
Breaking Bad famously had like to choose your own ending. Do you want the end where everything is ash in Walt's mouth and everything is just bitter defeat and he dies old and alone in some godforsaken cabin in Vermont or wherever the fuck he's at, New Hampshire? Mm. Do you like the ending where, like, you know, he kind of came back and took responsibility for things and let Skyler off the hook or do you want the like the crowd pleasing get Skinny Pete and Badger back and rescue Jesse from the Nazi shoot him up,
Walt Jr.
Take it to the neo-Nazis? Like, do you think that we'll get that kind of thing with Saul, or it will be more of no, we want to actually go for this kind of ending and this is what we like?
I don't know what they're going to go for. As far as what I want, I just want some kind of closure on Gene, Saul, Jimmy.
Agreed.
That person.
Agreed. Like, if the next two seasons just have some random scene from Gene's life that goes nowhere,
yeah,
that'd be a big disappointment. Mm-hmm. Big disappointment for me.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next Wednesday for, well, the premiere's on Monday, but we'll be 2 days after that with probably a lot more feedback. Obviously, a full episode recap. I don't know how to end this podcast. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
Later.